بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم.
So today I want to talk to you about two other birds. One is the dietary cuckoo. Naam the koel bolte ni, the dietary cuckoo. Now the cuckoo, there are different species and subspecies of cuckoos, but all of them, they are what are called brood parasites or nest parasites, which is basically, it means that the cuckoo does not build its own nest. It goes and lays its egg in the nest of some other bird and then goes away. The other bird hatches this nest, hatches this cuckoo's egg, not knowing that it's not its own egg. And the cuckoo chick hatches. And having hatched, the cuckoo chick remains a cuckoo, mates with a cuckoo, not with the bird in whose nest it was raised. Its voice, its sound, its call, everything is that of a cuckoo. Now, even more interesting, when the cuckoo lays the egg in the host bird's nest, the cuckoo kicks out all the other eggs in the nest. If the bird lays one more egg or something afterwards, that may be there. Otherwise, whatever was there before that, it kicks about, it leaves only one egg. The second thing is, somehow, the host bird, it may have laid two eggs, three eggs. It doesn't find anything strange to come back and find there's only one egg and other two are gone. This is all the khudrat of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation and how He has created systems to protect who He wants to protect. Even more interesting and not very nice to see, but this also happens, which is that the cuckoo chick hatches first, grows faster, eats all the food which the mother bird brings and kills the other chick which hatches thereafter. Now, even more strange is the cuckoo is compared to some of its host bird species is much larger. So, the egg is larger, the chick is larger. One of the most common bird species that the cuckoo becomes, that the cuckoo parasites on, is the weaver bird, what we call the baya weaver. Now, the baya weaver is about the size of a sparrow. The cuckoo is much larger. The baya weaver's nest, if you have seen it, is a marvel of creation, absolutely marvel of creation. It's a the baya takes grass and it rips off long slivers of palm leaves and so on. And it actually weaves a nest which is waterproof, which is temperature controlled. And it is built like an upside down lampshade with a tunnel going up into the chamber, and there are two chambers inside. It's such a complex nest, and this is done by a bird using only its beak. It has no fingers and thumbs, but it makes knots. It ties knots. I've actually seen bayas weaving. I've seen them building nests in Africa and India. And the way they start with one blade of grass, which they curve into one circle. SubhanAllah, I can only fall in sajda. And if you see me in sajda on a dirty road, you know what I'm doing. Now, my point is that this nest is built, and one of the major reasons why this nest is designed in this way is to keep out intruders, whichever predator species, whatnot. Because it's a complicated net. I mean, to get inside this nest itself is a job, because you have to come down and fly upwards through the tunnel into the nest. All of this. So Only the bayas can do it and the cuckoos can do it. Now, another complication. The cuckoo has to fly in this complicated way to get inside this nest. But once it gets inside the nest, the cuckoo has to lay an egg very, very fast. Now, I don't know how many of you have actually seen a bird laying an egg. I have seen. I had a pet chicken, which used to insist on laying her eggs on top of my pile of shirts in my cupboard. So, she would come there and she would make one big racket and she would knock on the door and so on until I opened the door. And then it would fly up into the cupboard and sit on top of my pile of shirt. My mother used to get very upset with us with this. But anyway, she never stopped me. So, this chicken used to sit on top of the pile of eggs, of shirts, and she would lay an egg. And I have actually stood there and observed this entire process. It takes quite a long time. Laying an egg is a difficult job for whichever bird it is, because the egg has to come out of a very small orifice and the egg is much bigger usually. The shell is softer so it can come out and then the shell hardens after it comes into the air. And so this chicken used to lay the egg and then the chicken would turn around and look at it with a look of complete astonishment on its face and it would go cock, 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 because it's, you know, so surprised to see the egg. So anyhow, this cuckoo, however, lays an egg in the nest of its host species, in this case the baya, in less than 10 seconds. Because the cuckoo wants to be in and out of there before the baya comes back. Now the baya bird has laid the eggs, the female, or is in the process of laying the eggs, but she goes out to feed. So before it comes back from its flight, this cuckoo has to be in and out of there with the egg in place. So it lays an egg in less than 10 seconds. If it gets caught in the nest, usually the baya will kill it. So, you know, it's not safe to be there. In less than 10 seconds. Now, one more complication, which is that the baya egg and the cuckoo egg are two different things. They don't even look the same. So, what do cuckoos do? Cuckoos lay eggs of the size and the color and the pattern of the host bird. The Didari cuckoo lays eggs the size and the pattern and the color of the host bird. Now, this doesn't mean that the same cuckoo lays eggs of multiple colors. They specialize. So, cuckoos in a certain area will lay eggs in baya nests because most of the nests there are that of the weaver birds. In some other cases, cuckoos also lay eggs in the nests of crows. They lay eggs in all kinds of bird nests, including they lay eggs in the nests of birds whose eggs are blue in color. Cuckoos of that area lay blue colored eggs in those nests. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very interestingly, especially with the blue colored eggs, they have researched to see that the chromosome, the gene which is of the blue color, comes only from the female, not from the male. And the reason is because if it was from the male, then if the male mated with two or three different females, then it would create all kinds of complications, because then the blue color would not be transmitted. It would be some mixture and then the egg would be some peculiar color and that would not be viable because the host bird will chuck it out. So Allah gave the color chromosome to the female. So no matter which male she mates with, she will lay a blue egg because that is coming from her genes, not from the genes of the male. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as the Didari cuckoo is concerned. I thought I will talk to you about two birds, but one is enough. Inshallah, the other one tomorrow, inshallah. Seriously, let us go out, get out of these miserable cities, go out into the bush, go sit there, sit in front of, especially baya weavers. Go quietly, go and sit in front of a baya nest and spend the whole day. Take some coffee, take some sandwiches. Go and sit down quietly there. Don't do anything, just sit quietly and watch. And wallahi, that is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell you, seriously, that is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're just watching that and saying, Subhanallah al-Azim. This is my Rabb Jalla Jalal. Such amazing detail, what Allah does is, I mean, absolutely mind-boggling.
Now, what's interesting about the baya is that the male makes the nest. And he spends, you must see the amount of effort that goes into that nest, it's huge. Because remember, you're looking at a bird which is using only its beak. It starts with, a single blade of grass. So the male makes the nest. And when the nest is complete, it invites females. And the female comes and inspects the nest. And if she likes the nest, then she mates with the male and then she will lay an egg in the nest. If she doesn't like the nest, she just flies away. And the male then dismantles the whole nest and he builds it again. So it's quite a sight to see, especially the young males who have hatched out and it's their first nest they're building or the first couple of nests, how much of effort they go to build the perfect nest so that the female who they are trying to attract will approve of this nest and they can start their families. And of course, as in other cases, experience counts more than anything else. And experience comes out of learning from failures. So it takes a few times before the male can build a nest which is nice enough to attract the female. The last thing I want to say before I close is what amazes me. I've been interested in wildlife literally from the day I was born. And my parents encouraged that. They left me alone. They let me spend a lot of time in the bush. They let me go to all kinds of wild places. They never came in the way. I remember this issue of the cuckoo being a nest parasite. The first person who told me about that was my mother, where she told me that this cuckoo lays its eggs in the nest of crows. Now, she didn't use this term nest parasite and so on, but, or brood parasite. But my mother is the one who told me this. I can't even remember how young I was. Must have been a little kid. Anyhow, what strikes me is that in easily at least 50 years of my life, of reading about wildlife, of spending time in the forests of India, of Africa, of South America, of 50 years of, talking to naturalists, all kinds of involvement with nature, with birds and beasts and ecology and conservation, especially in the area of research into the lives of birds and animals, research and work in the area of this area, I have not seen one single Muslim name. I have not seen one single Muslim doing this work. And my big question is why? Now, I might be wrong. I sincerely hope I'm wrong. If there are Muslims, all power to them. But my point is that if they are, then they are exceptional. Because they are exceptions. Because generally the rule is no Muslims. We just don't take interest in these things. Although we are the people who received the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. Now, how are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, look at my signs. In my creation are my signs. Go look at these signs. See these signs. Be impressed by these signs. Introduce me to the rest of creation by telling them about my signs. And what do? We do nothing. I can guarantee you almost, and again, I hope I'm wrong, I can absolutely guarantee you that if you take
especially our ulama and especially the students of our Darul Ulooms and Jamiat and Madrasas, if you take them out into the bush, they will not know how to take care of themselves. They will not know the name of a single bird or animal species that they see. They will not know the first thing about their lives, about the lives of these creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not know the first thing about what is edible, what is not edible, what is poisonous, what is not poisonous in the bush. They will be completely and totally at sea. My question is why? Because these are the people who are reading the Quran. They are mugging it up, they are memorizing it. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. They would have read this ayat, 200 times, trying to memorize it. They would have memorized it, they would recite it with tajweed and with lahan itqarat, but they have no clue. They do not look in the sky and they don't look at the bird and they say, SubhanAllah, how does this thing fly? How is it that this bird is able to fly? How does it overcome gravity? How does it overcome drag? How does it overcome the friction of going through the air? They don't ask this question because they don't know what is gravity. They don't know what is drag. Now, when on earth are we going to change this absolutely pathetic situation with ourselves? That is my question to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to His creation, of which of course we are also a part, so that we see and we understand and we glorify Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmal alameen.